what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor.
And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor. It is Wednesday, December 4th. You know what that is. It's What the Fuck Wednesday, December 4th. And it's just going to be a long lightning round of listener-submitted headlines from you. Thank you so much for playing the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're the winner
of
the game.
Exactly. Everybody wins. We win. I enjoyed doing my stories. I'm sure you guys did too. The order is
no, I don't win this time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Mark doesn't win. Nobody wins with Mark's story.
No.
That's true. The order is going to be Mark, Wes, Pat, and then myself. And Mark, get us going with the nastiest story of all time. And
before you do, I'm going to try to find a winner in this story when we finish it.
Oh, yeah. Try to find a good angle out of this.
Yeah, good
luck. All right.
Okay. Okay, guys, seriously, this is probably the worst story we've ever done. I'm not kidding. And it's submitted by multiple listeners to prove that it's not just us at Hard Factor who are sick fucks, but clearly some of you are as well because you want us to talk about this. Those two listeners that submitted it are at Joey0807 and my wife. Mm-hmm. I'm stalling here.
Get into it.
Okay. A Pennsylvania mother, Jesus Christ, a Pennsylvania mother, if you can call her that, has been charged with murdering her 4 and 8-year-old children 2 months after staging their hanging deaths as suicides.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lisa Rochelle.
4 and 8-year-old, huh?
It's pretty common for 4 and 8-year-olds to commit suicide. First of all, hanging's their preferred method.
Yeah, let's joke about it. This is a good idea. This is how Lisa decided to make it look like it was common or that it was a suicide. The worst human being on earth, Lisa Rochelle Snyder, told police that her 8-year-old son was being bullied in school for being like fat and stuff, and that he'd made it clear verbally several times that he wanted to kill himself and that he didn't want to go alone and threatened to do it. So that must have been what happened when she discovered the children in the basement. In September.
Oh.
I was bullied for being fat and when I was 8 and I just ate more.
Yeah, same here, Wes. Wes, that was my reaction too. Also, so she tried to pin,
show them.
She tried to pin a murder-suicide on her 8-year-old son.
On her 8-year-old son, yeah. But what she really did is she put them on chairs in the basement, convinced them to hang nooses around their necks, and then kicked the chairs out from beneath them.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and the paramedics arrived at the scene and actually saved the kids' lives. It gets worse.
What?
That's good.
Yes, they resuscitated them, reviving them momentarily, or for 3 days they were in a coma, but then had to be taken off life support because there's no chance.
No.
So they just were in a hospital in a bad state for 3 days, at which point they were both taken off. And in a notebook-like scenario, died within minutes of each other.
And this woman's just, like, chilling next to him the whole time, like, acting like she's distraught.
Even worse, distraught. Days after the children died, Snyder took to Facebook, updating her profile with a photo and saying, words scar, rumors destroy, bullies kill, blaming it on another child, and then her child, for suicide. So she blamed it on the kids at school, and then blamed it on her son. And then to perpetuate her story even further of the committing suicide, she went with that. But then she even created a new separate page besides her page called Remembering. I don't want to say their names. Remember?
No. Okay. So this, I'm just going to make it a little more grim in what I'm thinking.
Sure.
Good morning. Because they were 8 and 4, they weren't heavy enough to actually by the hanging.
The 8-year-old was about, 200 pounds.
Oh,
he was pretty big.
Oh, God.
The 4-year-old girl was small.
That's terrible. Terrible. Terrible.
So that was back in September. Uh-huh. This Monday, months later, Snyder was charged with first-degree murder. So they finally figured out it was definitely her. She was charged with first-degree murder, third-degree murder, tampering with evidence, endangering the welfare of children. Wait, hang on. Animal cruelty and sexual intercourse with the dog.
Because
that's right. They found pictures of her getting fucked by her 50-pound pit bull in her emails.
Wow.
Oh. Okay, so the pit bull's the winner here, undoubtedly.
This is the angle you
want
to go with?
Pitbull doesn't have a family anymore, Pat.
Yeah, what do you want from me? He's an animal.
He lost too.
What do you want from us,
he
Joey and my
too.
Wife? What do you want from us? How am I supposed to, what are we supposed to do with this
story? That's the worst story of all time. That woman, I mean,
all right,
oh my God.
I'm hoping Snopes proves this to be false.
Let's move on.
Pitbull didn't know any better, so he just, For him, it was,
gets a lot better, guys. Yeah, okay. Stick with us.
Take us somewhere.
We should have said like fast forward to minute five, whatever.
All right, let's. What's up, Wes?
Okay, slighten it up a little bit. This one comes from our boy Brandon. Brandon Moist.
Love Brandon Moist.
A longtime fan. Thank you, Brandon, once again. Just when you think Canada has it all figured out, they go and do something real stupid and convince me not to move there. And this is one of those stories.
That's why you're not moving to Canada.
That's why I'm not moving there. The weather and this.
It's not because you're too loud.
Because they've been asking.
Yeah.
Can we get Wes?
Everyone wants me. So back in 2009, a woman was arrested for not holding the handrail on an escalator at a metro station in Laval, Quebec.
Oh, did she fall down and like take people out?
Nope.
She got arrested for not holding. That's a very Canadian arrest.
Right. Yes. Very.
Not holding the handrail.
Not the handrail
participating
there.
In the voluntary safety measure.
Right. So there was a sign that said, please hold the handrail. And she didn't. So apparently an officer saw the woman going through her purse, told her to hold onto the handrail. And when she didn't, he took action when she reached the bottom, asking the woman, Bella Kosoyan, to follow him. And when she did not want to do that, citing she did not do anything wrong, which she didn't. She also refused to provide the officer or Metro Mountie, I guess you could call him, with ID, causing him to detain her, arrest her. And he gave her a $100 ticket for not holding the handrail and a $300 fine for obstructing an inspection worker.
The $100 ticket for not holding the handrail must have been the first of its kind.
Yeah.
Yes.
How is that even possible to write? Not holding a handrail?
Yeah.
Do
they need like supervisor approval?
They really have a law that says you have to hold on to
the judge would
handrail?
Laugh that out of court.
I also love that the Canadian police, instead of arresting like you would be in America, say, you need to come with me, miss.
He's like, oh,
follow
double
me.
He's like, double whammy. His shoe's not tied. That's another $100. The shoe's not tied.
$50 fine. 50, yeah. 50 loonies.
Ma'am, I said please. So she sued for $45,000. And after some court battles, the case ended up in the Canadian Supreme Court, where it was ruled that even though there was a sign posted for riders to hold the rail, it was only a suggestion and not the law. And awarded the woman $20,000 Canadian, which is around $15,000 American.
That's pretty fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If everyone holds the handrail, everyone gets the fucking super flu.
Yeah.
But unless she used a public defender, which you can't do in a civil case, she lost money here, big time.
I'm sure it's like Medicare for all with defenders up there.
She lost cash.
You know what
probably
I mean?
Made a few grand.
I mean, $20,000 is pretty sweet payday.
Going to court costs $30,000.
No, it doesn't. This isn't like a 3-month trial.
Hey, it went to the Supreme
Court. You have some stories you need to tell?
I'm just saying.
All right.
Take me to court. Find out.
Well, anyway, what we should all take away from this story is $20,000 Canadian is $15,000. And here's a little tip for anyone going to a bachelor party in Canada like we just did. PFT knows this move very well. Always volunteer to pay for everything and have people Venmo you, because you will almost always come out ahead, because while you will be requesting $100 Canadian, you will be receiving $100 American.
You get automatic juice on that exchange rate. Yeah.
A lot of juice.
Pretty good.
See how that works. But
PFT is a smart guy.
Yeah, very smart guy. But hey, we're just kidding, PFT. Thanks for paying for the house, buddy.
Yeah, he did pay for the whole house.
Big time.
Yeah. And he made it back.
Broke even.
So there's that one.
All right, guys. This one comes from Hard Ohive member B Schmidt 255. So there's a growing trend in corporate America where executives are ditching traditional tired management styles for newer and sometimes unorthodox ways of managing employees and getting results. And one of the pioneers of these cutting-edge techniques is 37-year-old Scott Legg, formerly of the Manhattan headhunting firm Wegman Partners.
And great name.
Scott Legg. It's a great name. Strong name. Unless you have a small penis, then it's a bummer of a name.
Scott Third Legg.
Yeah.
His middle name.
Yeah. No, some are
my
saying—
My middle name's Third.
Some are saying his motivational approach is inappropriate, which begs the question, is Scott Legg just ahead of his time? I'll let you guys be the judge.
Well, tell us what he did.
Yeah. Well, look, keep in mind these management systems I'm going to outline, they come in the form of a complaint, but could easily be a case study. So I ask you to keep an open mind. All right, so
we're like taking a sexual assault course.
Open mind.
We're like—
It's a management course.
We're like a new corporation.
All right, yeah. All right. So in the complaint, case study, 35-year-old Veronica Micklewraith alleges that Legg took a special interest in her, as evidenced in the July 2015 incident.
Guilty.
Where Legg, quote, aggressively grabbed at her breasts in the kitchen office and tried to open her sweater.
Yeah, that's guilty.
All right.
So, okay. And then later that month, guys, hold on. Later that month, Legg, quote.
What kind of sweater was it?
Became enraged when Miss Micklewraith refused to go to lunch with him. So he called her a, quote, bitch. And as a thorough manager does, Legg wanted to really hammer home his displeasure with the insubordination, which he expressed by hurling chairs at her office wall. A technique he employed on two separate occasions.
He threw chairs at her wall.
She's in her office. And just chairs are hitting the wall.
Is he
frustrated,
mad?
Man.
Yep, that's the chair.
Yep. In August, Legg attempted to motivate Micklewraith by humping her office door while licking the door simultaneously and then displaying his tongue. I bet you got a lot done that day.
That's the Will Ferrell from Wedding Crashers.
Just humping it and saying, you. Yeah. Just pointing. And then, guys, in November of 2015, while Legg was waiting for Micklewraith at a client meeting.
So it was always with this woman.
Yeah, it was just one chick.
He really liked this chick.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it was always sexual harassment. You haven't done one so far that wasn't.
But it could be seen as a management technique.
Just
think about
multiple
it.
Sexual assaults on this woman.
Just think about it, guys.
Right from the get-go.
Anyway, so he's waiting for Micklewraith at a client meeting, and to let his subordinate know that that he didn't feel good about tardiness, he fired off a text message to her that read, quote, sitting here waiting for you. I know you're sick, but maybe I'll suck those boobies.
Oh, what? God.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll suck those boobies.
And she screenshotted the conversation. It was the first text
of
the day.
I was going to make an inappropriate joke, but his was way worse. I was going to say, if I get here at 7:45, I need your tits in the room by 7:44.
Big time. Well, you know, she was sick.
All right.
No, Legg wasn't selfish about spreading his management style to around, guys. So some of the other Wegman partner employees got some of the benefits of his style. So to help ease tension that can build up in a high-stress workplace, you guys know, Legg would often show up drunk or high on cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And he would lead by example that if employees needed rest, they should just take it, regularly passing out on the floor of his office, spread eagle.
Leads by example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From time to time, Legg would post motivational quotes and art on his office door, like, suck my balls. And a drawing he made
taken out of context.
A drawing he made of an ejaculating penis.
This is some amazing job security. There's no way you're getting fired.
What was this company?
Unless your boss.
Well, it's bad.
Of course it's bad. It's a joke.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Some say pioneers, guys. Others say predator.
This is like Packer from The Office.
Yeah.
The sales guy.
Yeah, I mean,
not getting fired,
but he's the boss.
Well, either way, as a result of his tenure at Wegman Partners, they had to implement new sexual harassment training for employees. So
you don't say.
Legacy
he's still
guy.
There? You didn't get
no,
fired?
No, he's gone. He's gone.
Literally, oh, like yeah. you just did with us, though, they could just take everything he did and just put it in a book.
Yeah.
And then that's
don't
the,
do this.
Done. Yeah.
They call it the Legg Laws.
That was his contribution.
Yeah, exactly. He changed the face of that company.
they're
never going to be the same. There was before Scott Legg and after Scott Legg.
The Legg policy.
Post Legg.
Jesus.
All right. Let's take it over to a different kind of story from listener at Darm 1255. And this one is about human composting. It is finally coming to Seattle.
So, yes.
Yeah, a weird one, human composting. If you've listened to the show for a while, it probably comes as no surprise that I've considered sacrificing my dead body to a tree when I die. Tossing me into the ground and then plant a tree right on top of me. Like, as
I didn't know that.
Never heard that before.
We've done the show with you and been friends with you, so I didn't know that.
I feel like it's a synergy type thing, like where you're feeding the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're into aliens and shit, we were supposed to know that?
No. I've thought about it a lot while I've been high. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could create like a new, like a weed strain by planting a pot plant on top of it.
If you've listened to the show and know that I love weed, anything I say could play.
Will's going
to
reinvent the wheel by burying himself after death. Got it.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think. All right.
All right. Well, okay. I guess my secret dream known just to myself will soon be a reality for residents of Seattle, Washington, as the world's first human composting facility will open there in 2021.
Also known as a cemetery.
How does this work? How does this work?
No, not quite, Pat. So Washington became the first state to legalize human composting in May of this year. And
great.
What's that?
Great.
Yeah, right? the first of maybe one. We'll see how this goes. And the company Recompose, America's first human dirt specialists, are taking full advantage. They offer, quote unquote, natural organic reduction to the public. Which is a system that converts human remains into soil. as an alternative to cremation or burial.
A system they developed? God developed that system. It's called the fucking earth.
It's called decomposition.
We need to figure out a way to get Scott Legg in charge over there and ruin this.
Oh, my God.
Let's bring him down.
It was a cry for help.
Yeah, well, when your visit's all done at Recompose, the process will yield about a cubic yard of soil per human body. So that's not a ton of soil, really. It's like a bag of soil. And then the soil can be taken home by friends and family, used to grow a tree or a garden. And then the remaining soil, I don't know how there's any remaining, but it's going to be used on 640 acres of conservation land in southern Washington that'll one day be the scariest imaginable ecologically sustainable village on Earth.
Just a haunted village.
Yeah, haunted.
These tomatoes are delicious. Were they grown with Tom?
Yeah, this is terrible.
I wonder how Big Casket feels about this.
Who thought of this shit?
Yeah, and then they're scattering everybody over there. It's insane.
Yeah, everyone's getting mixed up. I don't want to be scattered next to them.
I'm not eating the fucking thing that comes from any of this shit.
This is fucking dumb and why I've never been to Seattle.
That village, sounds terrifying. Also, Recompose is going to cost about $5,500 per pop. So yeah, that's pretty expensive.
It's a scam. This is a scam. You can I'll dig you a hole.
Exactly. Pay
me $4,500.
Pat, it's not a scam. They're thinking about it way too progressively. Do my style. Just strip you naked, toss you in a hole, plant a tree on top of you. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I agree as well. It's the exact same thing. And that's what people are after. A visiting tree.
Just cream at me and flush me down the toilet.
Mm-hmm. It's a $5,500 visiting tree.
Right. Yeah,
my favorite toilet, though.
Yeah, all right. Well, with all these people out here trying to turn you into a tree in 2019, that's why you're going to need to go to policygenius.com to get set up with all of your insurance needs. If you're a homeowner like me, you know how tough it is to get the right home insurance coverage. Even if your rates have crept up over the years, the idea of replacing your policy can seem exhausting. And it doesn't help that December is one of the busiest months of the year. That's why Policy Genius reimagined the entire process so you can get the right coverage at the best price. Here's all you need to do. First, head to policygenius.com and answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then, Policy Genius will compare your policy against options from top insurance to make sure you're getting the right home insurance coverage at the best possible price. They've saved their customers an average of $690 per year just doing that. So almost $700 a year saving. That's pretty good.
That ain't chump change.
Yeah, no, exactly. Whether you need home insurance or for a new place or just want to reshop your current policy, head to policygenius.com today. You can get started on your smartphone right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to home insurance, it's nice to get it right.
It is nice. What is not nice is my second story, which is actually sadder than my last story.
What?
Come on,
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It couldn't be. What are you guys, fucking nuts? It's nothing like my last story. Jesus Christ.
Three suicides.
Yeah, authorities say... Two women brawled in a Monmouth County ShopRite supermarket. This is in where, Pat?
That's where I'm from, bro. Monmouth County, New Jersey.
Ooh,
ShopRite.
Fun place. Surprising story out of Monmouth. After one accused the other lady of having too many items in an express checkout lane.
Don't do that.
Classic tale.
Not a ShopRite in Monmouth.
Good for her to stand up to that shit.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like one or two more, obviously don't say anything, but I don't think it was the case.
Nope.
Authorities say a 43-year-old woman from Brick, New Jersey, was challenged by a 45-year-old woman from Howe, New Jersey, over the number of items she had in the express checkout.
Sounds like a pretty fair fight.
I saw the pictures. The 43-year-old woman that got challenged was smaller and did some work, it looked like, based on the pictures. And we'll get to that. The woman from Brick was not only shopping in the Howe Woman's Turf, because from what I read, it was the Howe grocery store.
There you go.
So she's out of her county to start with. And then she had the gall to rub it in further by bringing two shopping carts full of groceries to the 15-item or less line.
What was she thinking?
No, whoa. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It could have been like 15 items. She just
was like barely over the limit.
She probably was barely over the limit. The incident quickly escalated as both women allegedly threw punches, like basically right away, and then started biting each other. Is this really news in Pat, by the way, in this county? Like, why am I even reading this? Isn't this like
the
norm?
Is that news in any county? I feel like...
Well, in New Jersey.
North Jersey, maybe. Central Jersey. Monmouth County is a very nice area. I know.
Okay.
Imagine being a grocery store.
But that's a ShopRite.
Well, the woman came from Brick, and she was causing some problems.
You find out your mom can throw punches all of a sudden, like gets accosted by someone, and then your mom's just throwing down in the fucking grocery store.
That's where a lot of people find out.
Witnesses claim that the 43-year-old woman from Brick also... scratched and bit the leg of a third woman who tried to stop them.
Oh, wow.
This ain't your fight.
Everyone suffered minor injuries that needed medical attention. So all three women needed to get like stitched up and bandaged up.
Head on over to Band-Aid aisle.
The two instigators were charged with disorderly conduct and tack on a simple assault for the biter that can't count, apparently, because it's 15, right? You know, 1 through 15.
That's ridiculous. That's like cart rage. It's worse than road rage.
Well, Will, I'm glad you brought that up because this particular fight broke out around noon on a Thursday. I believe it was the Thursday before Thanksgiving, so a few weeks ago. But grocery stores during the holiday season are hilarious and dangerous.
Yes.
They're like a major powder keg situation where one bump of a cart or a dirty look or skipping in line results in absolute anarchy.
Like Best Buy parking lots at Christmas.
Go shopping in the holiday season at a grocery store. Watch what fucking happens.
You get some dirty looks. You get dirty looks.
You got to be extra polite.
When you try the thing where you're just trying to go around the corner, you know, but you don't know if anybody's coming, you accidentally go, the looks you get around the holidays.
Try to go up and to the vegetable thing and like put a vegetable on and get your thing weighed. Like everyone's staring at you like it wasn't your turn.
Right. Try to wear your sweatshirt of Kim Jong-un and Trump making out at a Knoxville, Tennessee Wegmans.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Yeah. That was you. Yeah. You were just purposely trying to piss people
off. Wegmans is a little safer than like a
Which, speaking of, we still got to get you in that MAGA hat. Kroger,
you owe us a MAGA hat.
Pick the date.
Okay.
All right, guys. This one, next one comes from Sweet Kenneth. Thank you, Sweet Kenneth, for keeping an eye on the front page news for us. We may have seen this one on our own, but we appreciate the story nonetheless. Just kidding. We appreciate it.
Come on. Sweet Kenneth is always DMing.
I know. I'm just joking. We love you, Sweet Kenneth. Guys, Democratic Party sweetheart Kamala Harris is dropping out of the presidential race.
Oh, no.
I think most of us saw this coming after she closed her campaign offices, months ago. Pretty sure that that was a sign she was in trouble. Also, her polling numbers continued to suck, and she just couldn't raise enough money to compete.
But I think she was one of the six people qualified for the December debates.
She was.
Yeah, which we'll have to talk about when we get to predict it.
Yeah. So this was
talked about the number of people in the market.
Down to eight at best.
You're right. I think it's down, but I predicted eight.
Yeah, so it helps you.
Yeah.
So this was a recipe for carajo, no más para mí. As Beto would have said, which is fuck, no more for me. to her supporters, Harris wrote, quote, "In good faith, I can't tell you, my supporters and volunteers, that I have a path forward if I don't believe I do." And to Kamala.
Smart woman.
Yeah. And to Kamala, President Trump weighed in, tweeting, "Too bad. We will miss you, Kamala."
Sarcastically.
Yeah. I don't think he was sincere. No. And neither did Kamala when she fired back, "Don't worry, Mr. President. I'll see you at your trial."
Nice. Oh, a bit of an overreaction.
Nice.
If you ask me.
A little foreshadowing. So no love lost there.
You don't think Kamala should be beefing with big
No, I'm kidding, because obviously Trump was not being sincere with his tweet.
Not sincere.
Yeah, of course not.
So no love lost there, but don't worry, Kamalians. I just made that up.
That's a good one.
I don't know what her supporters
Maybe
are called, but
still
we're
going to be in the race.
We're going to go with it, Kamalians. She may have dropped out to concentrate on another prize, that being the VP nomination, because coming in sixth place in the California primary vote, her home state, would not have been a good look for her if she is seeking that VP seat. So she's out of the presidential race, but if you go to predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20, you can now bet on whether or not Kamala or someone else will get that VP nod. And this is a very high risk, high reward market right now, as no one and one that is very sexy. So let's look at the numbers. Right now, you can buy Kamala Harris at 14 cents. Actually, in the time I wrote this to the time now, she went up a cent. Yeah. She's at 15 cents now, which she's tied with Stacey Abrams, whom you might remember lost the controversial.
My gosh. How is she still up? At the front?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's surprising.
Well, I think Kamala's the better Stacey Abrams.
She's gonna pass her.
She's gonna be VP.
Yeah.
But there's also people like Klobuchar and Castro who are still in the race.
I'd go with Harris and get that West Coast baby.
Well, I'm gonna give you some advice that I think might happen. So no candidate is clearly in the lead in that market, and you have Abrams at 15 cents, Harris at 15 cents, Buttigieg who may end up getting the nod for presidential nominee in the end at 12 cents, and Pat's pick, Amy Klobuchar at 7 cents, tied with Booker. Then you got Gabbard and Castro at 6.
I like Harris.
Someone named Sherrod Brown, who's apparently a senator from Utah, at 5 cents.
Yeah, it's just you don't know who it's going to be. Yeah. That's the problem with this market.
Right. I like if Buttigieg doesn't.
It could be none of the people mentioned.
Right. I mean, it comes down to who the who the nominee is. They're going to pick
exactly.
who they like.
It could be someone that no one's
likes,
ever yeah. talked about.
Exactly.
It could be a House
that happens
representative
a lot.
Person.
Right.
Remember
right?
Tim
like
Kaine or Mike Pence?
Somewhere.
The
yeah,
current vice president,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But here's what I think you should do. I like Kamala out there stirring the pot and getting some press for a nice quick bump on this one. Mm-hmm. So
and
you
then
know,
sell it, buy it,
and then sell it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I like that a lot.
I think that's the move here.
That's good advice.
So you know, I think she's going to be out
the wave.
There. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ride the wave. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, let me talk about the two marks we talked about last night.
Yeah.
We got a lot of feedback today because Kamala Harris dropped out. A lot of people were like, you guys were wrong, or me in particular, were wrong about your who's going to be next to drop out race. Incorrect. Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris was not in the market at all for who's next to drop out because she already had qualified. It's out of the five people, Castro, Booker, Klobuchar, Yang, and someone else. I forget at
Castro,
the time.
Castro?
No, I already
Castro?
Said him. Okay. But anyway. No, I don't know if Cyrus is that one or not, but Harris was
anyway,
not. Harris yeah. was not. I would still go with Booker, I think was my advice. Mm-hmm. And then it was nine people was the favorite yesterday at the time of recording. Today it moved to eight for the next debate because Kamala Harris dropped out. So eight's by far the favorite for how many
there
people would make
Hopefully
the debate.
Hopefully picked nice. It up early.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So there's a lot of money to be made on this market. So remember, go to predicted.org/promo/hardfactor20. You get a free $20 on us when you deposit a minimum of $20. I believe Pat had some success in Predicted last night, if he cares to share. Not sure he does.
No, no. We'll skip that. That was
I don't
mean.
Want to talk
that was
about
mean.
It. Sorry. I don't want to fucking talk about
it. Low blow.
Can I borrow some rent money? Police in Utah. Well, you want to throw the URL out? We got it out? Okay.
Yeah, I got
did.
It out.
He did.
Police,
it out.
Police in Utah. We're performing a welfare check on a sweet elderly lady when they ran into a couple of surprises, guys.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
well,
nuts.
Last time, someone got eaten by a hog, so.
Yeah, no, it's different than that. Yeah, right. And I do want to shout out who this is from. This is from D_McCleary.
Nice.
All right, so they're walking into this old lady's house, find a couple of surprises. The first surprise was that 75-year-old Jeannie Cerrone Mathers was dead.
Yeah, but they're probably not super surprised because they were checking on
it. It was a welfare check.
Right.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Coin flip.
Right.
Dead. Surprise two was discovered when they opened a freezer in the utility room of this woman's apartment where they found the frozen body of her husband, Paul Edward Mathers.
That's a surprise.
Wow. That's a surprise. Yeah, not good.
Where's Paul?
According
That's a twist.
To authorities, the body could have been in the freezer for as little as a year and a half. Or as long as 11 years.
I'm going to go with the
yeah.
longer.
No one ever checked on Paul.
No one checked on Paul. And
ever.
The man has not completely thawed out, so no word on whether he's dead or alive, but things aren't looking good.
Yeah, he's dead.
Man.
You think? I mean, yeah. You never know until they thaw out. Jeannie moved into the apartment back in December 2007, and at the time, her unfrozen husband was on the lease. Police, quote, strongly suspect foul play. No shit.
Yeah.
But again, they won't know until he's thawed out. And with
hasn't
recent,
moved out since
I can't
2007.
Believe no one
huh?
checked on Paul.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe older people, like a lot of
Doesn't
their friends die
family?
And shit.
She might have been cashing those Social Security checks.
Might have been 100.
Yeah, sounds like she was living large mm-hmm. as she could after she got rid of Paul.
Yeah. And that's that. Well, yeah.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. You got to watch Paul. Out.
I hope Paul was haunting her.
Yeah, and also it's been freezing a lot in Utah, so it's going to take a while for him to thaw out. So we're, yeah.
If you're frozen,
you.
Though.
Did you see that wolf or that dog? I guess it could have been a domestic dog from 18,000 years ago that thawed out in Russia.
No.
Oh, that was wild.
I stay away from the Russian
news. They can't
news.
Tell if it's a dog or a wolf.
Oh, yeah.
18,000
year
old.
I heard about that.
It's the missing link of the
dog like
wolf
dog.
Thing.
Right, like when did they become
right.
dogs?
That's yeah. crazy. Also, That's cool. if your body's frozen, can your ghost haunt people or is it too cold?
Good question.
Yeah.
It's trying. It's just haunting itself. It's even
yeah,
worse.
It's stuck. Yeah.
I'm gonna say no, Will, but I'll do a research. I'll do
question.
Some experiments.
Yeah, it's something to consider. All right, this last one is from listener Charles, who must work at the New York Post because this guy sends us all the New York Post stories like so quick. He's got all the good ones at his disposal. This one takes us to the majestic Big Apple, New York Post's home. You know, New York City, so whimsical, covered in snow for the holidays. Anyhow, this tale
yes.
goes down in the subway stations of Manhattan, such a classy island, where an adventurous couple has been sucking and fucking their way through the city since 9:30 a.m. on November 22nd.
Yes, this is a story I need.
Yeah, yeah. So
just
these
sucking
two,
and fucking.
Oh, yeah. Very frisky. They
Warm
were initially
there.
Spotted in Lower Manhattan that morning, November 22nd, performing unspecified sex acts on each other. And then again a few hours later at the Bowling Green Metro station. And then later that afternoon, the coup de grace, 6:40 p.m. that night, the pièce de résistance, the couple had a 38-second video of them filmed while performing Cunnilingus on a train platform at Grand Central Station.
That's fantastic.
Grand Central, that's ballsy. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Grand Central was happening downstairs.
What a sweet story to be in love.
They're in love. This is not a couple that needs to hire a masked man to force at gunpoint them to have sex.
No.
They're doing it in front of everyone.
They are the masked men.
They are their own masked men.
This is a good holiday story that they just see each other and they just can't help each other.
This is a romantic story.
I love it.
Great way to end it.
Incredibly romantic. And on Tuesday this week, the cops went public with it. They needed to release a picture of the man because they're still on the lam. They're lovers and they're elusive to the police as well. So
this is like Bonnie and Clyde with sex.
Just hope they're rolling with their own wet wipes.
Let's let them go.
Let them go. You get a prize if you like see them or something.
What are you arresting me for, officer?
Maybe it sparks. They're like Cupid. Maybe it sparks you to like maybe get a little more romantic with your partner.
Stop being such a prude.
Stop being such a Grinch and make out with your lady or whatever.
These are some do-gooders.
It's the holidays. Get a little touchy.
Yeah, eat her out on a train platform. Do whatever you want. I think the cops maybe just are, they're not really going after him. They're just trying to spread the story. You know, that's the
name of Will's autobiography.
It's like a Christmas miracle.
We don't need too many of these. We don't need too many of these people, but one is great.
It's Agatha Christie's hidden book, Eat Her Out on a Train. The unpublished
train platform.
All right, and that's going to do it for Heart Factor today. Don't forget to get your hands on that Elon Musk ugly sweater while you still can at the Barstool store. It is a classic. Keep your eyes out for new episodes of Around the Hill with PFT dropping all the time. Make sure to join us on December 19th for a debate live stream. And most importantly, have a great fucking day. Feel like making love.